Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're just finishing up in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and getting ready to go into the 13th chapter. I just wanted to show the cause or the reason that Abraham left Egypt. The princes also of Pharaoh in verse 15 of the 12th chapter. Saw her, that is Sarah, or Sarai at this point in time, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So at that point in time, Sarah was actually being added to the Pharaoh's harem, and because she, you know, went along with the ruse. You know, yes, they were brother and sister, half brother, half sister, but they're all also husband and wife. And it just shows that when, from a natural point of view, we know that we're made up as believers of the flesh and the spirit. The flesh thinks according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the Spirit, then, once we come to faith in Jesus Christ and we're indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, we recognize that we can't have a right relationship with God on the basis of our morality, but we have a right relationship with God based upon the one sacrifice for sin forever by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this hasn't been revealed yet as we're in Genesis. The promise of the Savior was given in the judgment of Adam and Eve. And when God judged Lucifer, he promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And then later on, we see that through the seed of Abraham, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. And then progressing through, we see the seed of David, and ultimately the seed of David ends up being the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have to have a lineage from Adam, but not from father to son, but it comes down, it goes father and son so far, but then we switch to the genealogy of Mary, so that we see that Christ was related to David and to Abraham through Mary, but in the birth of a child, as a woman carries that child in her womb, there's not one drop of the woman's blood that is in the bloodstream of the child. In fact, if that happens, it usually causes a natural miscarriage. And so the bloodstreams aren't mixed, but Mary's related to Adam, has a sin nature, just like everyone else. Roman Catholics try to teach that Mary is sinless. Roman Catholics try to teach that Abraham was sinless. Yeah. And the only sinless person that ever walked on the face of this earth after the fall of Adam was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was promised in the shadows and types of the Old Testament scripture. And he was to be, as we've seen the genealogy of Shem, he was to be of that lineage. And all the way then to Abraham. And so it says, okay, the princess also of Pharaoh in verse 15 saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house, and he entreated Abraham well for her sake. And so Abraham had sheep and oxen and asses, male asses, and men servants and maid servants, and she asses or female asses, and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, which was her name before the covenant relationship was put into effect, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?" Well, that's going to bring conviction to anybody's heart. You know, now we recognize that at this point in time, there was no law except not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there is a certain degree of understanding of right and wrong, despite the just, you know, God only had given him one law at this point in time. Man wasn't even living up to his knowledge of good and evil or his sense of morality. And so Pharaoh then, on the basis of man's morality, he said, "Why didn't you tell me that she's your wife?" You know, why saidst thou in verse 19, "She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." In other words, get the daylights out of Egypt. Yeah. And Egypt in Scripture is a type of the world. And the world has its moral concepts, and they change from one, one civilization to another civilization, one group of people to another group of people. And of course, because of the lie of the devil, we have everyone has a knowledge of good and evil. And that concept of morality, we don't even live up to that. You know, the things that we say we shouldn't do, we do. And the things that we say we should do, we don't do. And this is before God's given the Ten Commandments, but man is condemned by his behavior nevertheless, you know, because he doesn't even agree live up to his own standard. See? So then Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him. Now, Lot was the son of Haran, and Haran was Abram's older brother, and we remember that when Abram's father, Terah, took the whole family and they went as far as Haran, and we know that city was named Haran at the time that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, but we don't know what it was named before or whether Terah had something to do with the naming of the city, because it's named basically after his firstborn. Haran represents the flesh. And so God had called Abraham, and he was supposed to leave his father and his mother and leave the relatives behind and get into a land that God would show him. But then we saw back in verse 31 of the 11th chapter, and Terah took Abram his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Now, I pointed out, we don't know what it was named prior to them going there, but at the time that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, it was called Haran. So it's a geographical location. And if you follow the Euphrates River and take it up what they call the Fertile Crescent in geography, and that's up above Syria, and then the headwaters of the Euphrates come in, follow that most of that route, and then from there, then you go down through Syria and into Israel. And so Abraham continued on, as we saw in the 12th chapter. And I will read that again. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred." He said this before what we just read in chapter 11, verse 31. But then the old man took over, and the old man represents the flesh. We've seen that in Ephesians 4:22 and also in Colossians 3:9, and there's another passage in Romans. I can't think of the address right now, but it also refers to the flesh. Okay, and so as the old man. Okay. So with that then, Abram went into Canaan ultimately after the old man died, and he came as far as Bethel, and between Bethel and Hai, he built an altar unto the Lord. And then there was a famine in the land, so Abram, after he had worshiped the Lord with the altar that he built at Bethel, the flesh kind of took over again, and he just kept going because there was a famine in the land. Even though God called us to this place, we have to keep going because how are we going to feed ourselves? So, you know, God has promised to meet all of our needs, and sometimes it's very difficult for people to realize, for example, in giving a tithe. I guarantee you that if you tithe, you'll have more with 90% than you have with 100%. It's just because God will bless it. You know. So coming then, Abraham is then driven out of Egypt, and Pharaoh, in verse 20 of the 12th chapter, commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Well, that's kind of like, now, who is Abraham? He is a patriarch that God is going to bless, and through his seed, all of the families of the earth are to be blessed. So he represents the spiritual man. But the spiritual man's being rebuked by the natural man for his conduct. Yeah. And the world does that all the time. Yeah. Same things, of course, in this particular case, it was pretty, it was kind of out there, you know. And Abram basically said, well, if they want you, honey, you're going to have to go with them. Yeah. And I remember reading a book. It was written by a Roman Catholic priest, and he did a very good job writing a history about Mohammed. But in his book, he said the difference between Mohammed and Abraham, is that Abraham was sinless. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, not even one. The only sinless person who has ever lived on this earth after the fall of Adam and Eve is the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he came into the world through the virgin birth, and he came in, you know, from the seed of Adam, through the seed of Abraham, through the seed of David, all the way, so that when he was born, he was the legal king of Israel. And I've forgotten his name right now, but over in, let's see, where was it? I think it's in Judges, where God pronounced a curse on one of the kings of Israel, because he was pretty overt and in his sins. And this is the direct bloodline to Adam, or not Adam, but to Joseph. And the curse is that no one of that bloodline, you know, firstborn, will sit and rule upon the throne of David. But our Lord comes to that lineage, you know, coming to that particular individual, and I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, well, I'll look that up and tell you next time. Anyway, Abram went up out of Egypt, so he's leaving the world, and of course, our operation in the world is always momentary. You know, we can be very spiritual, and we can be very fleshly, and sometimes we can be fleshly and spiritual almost simultaneously. Yeah. It's just the nature that we have because we're of the seed of Adam. And so we have a fallen nature there, but that fallen nature has been redeemed in Jesus Christ. And so we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit in this age. And so we're to operate in the Spirit, which is to operate according to the Word of God, because all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. Now, we have to recognize that when we're talking about operating according to the Word of God, there are spiritual lessons all the way through the Old Testament, all through the book of Exodus, where we have the law and the tabernacle, all through the book of Judges, as or book of Joshua, as we enter into the land, and through the Judges and so on and so forth. There we see men that were faithful to God. We see men that were unfaithful to God. That's just who man is. You know, some of them were saved. Many of them were not. But the saved men were never perfect in their conduct and couldn't be. And so that statement by the Roman Catholic priest just shows, the ignorance of very religious men. You know, they want to establish their own righteousness, and that goes to the lie of the devil. And so Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel. So he returned to the place where he built an altar unto the Lord. And this kind of worked that way when, in a natural sense, we can be walking in the Spirit. We can be faithful unto the Lord. And then all of a sudden the flesh takes over. And we kind of have in our minds return to the place where we departed. You know, and recognize that we're capable of just about anything. The only sin that a believer can't commit is the unpardonable sin. And that's to substitute the lie of the devil for the truth of the Word of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And no one who is really saved can do that. But lots of people, like the Jews, Jesus referred to them over in, the 8th chapter of John. He said, "You of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Okay. And they said about Jesus, they renounced his virgin birth. They said, "We be not born of fornication." What's the implication? You were. We're not buying that story about a virgin birth. Okay. And so when people deny the person and work of Christ for the works of their own hands, it's not a sin that a genuine believer can commit, but people who profess to be believers can and do commit that sin, and that seals their eternal damnation. So he returned to Bethel unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord's name here is Jehovah, the Lord God our Savior. And so now it's like we can be in the flesh and the Spirit almost simultaneously, but we always have to come to the recognition of the flesh in our lives. And none of us, as believers in Jesus Christ, are without the influence of the flesh. None of us can live sinless, perfect lives. But God counts us, when Christ died, you died. When Christ was buried, you were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, you arose with him. You see our studies in Matthew are working into this portion of Scripture as well. And so over in Ephesians, it tells us that we're already seated in the presence of God. Now, we're not there, but the certainty that you will be there as a believer. Genuine believers can never be lost. And that gives us, we can do some pretty rotten things. And sometimes we can do some things that we wouldn't think that we would ever do, but we do them anyway. You know, kind of reminds me of Red Skelton when he used to be on the radio years ago when I was a little kid. And we'd listen to him, and one of his characters was the mean little kid. And my mother and father and I think, I can't remember, I guess Jean, I think it was before Carolyn was born. So it may have been right about that point in time. But we went to Hollywood to see, you know, they used to have live audiences rather than canned laughter, and to see the Red Skelton show. And it was amazing. I mean, he's got a script and all of that type of thing, and as they're reading their script, they just drop the pages, you know. And he's got his comedy routine, and he takes his fedora and turns it over and pushes it off his head. So now he looks like a little Lord Fauntleroy. And he was told not to get up in the cupboard because there was some dessert or candy or something up there. And he says, "I know if I do it, I'll get a spanking, but I did it anyway." And that would always evoke, a great amount of laughter. And then, of course, as he's climbing up into the cupboard, he pulls the dishes out, and literally, they had pottery dishes on the table so that the sound effect man would push over these dishes, you know, stack after stack after stack, and then once it would quiet down, he'd throw a little tin cup in the air and go, tinkle, tinkle, and then the audience would roar again, you know. But that was the mean little kid. The mean little kid is in each one of us. That's who we are, folks. So, he returned to the place where he departed. And, you know, when I first came to Eugene, I came up here to establish a church, worked hard, and was working 40 hours a week at least in the commercial to a radio business. And we panned in a garage in a rental that we had to make an auditorium out of that. And I would, go out and knock on doors and try to get some people together to come to our church. And we had a pretty good nucleus. And we had many more children in Sunday school back then than sometimes we even have now. But I've got a picture, I think, of Joanne and one of the ladies that helped her, and they're in front of our place on 285 Owasso Drive. And, it looks like almost like one of our potluck photos. And so there were, we were reaching out to the children, trying to get the parents, but parents have learned long ago, we can sleep in, we'll send the kids to Sunday school, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So Abraham is back where he departed, and he's worshiping the Lord by making an offering unto the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great. So both Lot and Abraham did well in Egypt. And they came out of Egypt much richer than they were when they went into Egypt. And we read about Lot, and a lot of people think that Lot, because of his incestuous relationship with his two daughters, which produced Moab and Ammon, and Moab, it means from father. That's what the eldest son's name was. Okay, let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and read a little bit about Lot. Okay, let's see. And We have to recognize that in every age there are false prophets. So let's start at verse 2, and we'll get to Lot about verse 7. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Yeah, and this is, we've had numerous people that have come along during our ministry here. They come in and they act like they're with us, and then we see that they try to draw a nucleus away, or literally, when I had my heart attack, we had a relative of one of our members that came, and he was looking to be pastor of the church. And we had others along the line, you know, that have done the same thing. And so the devil's always at work. Now, we bear a testimony, not only in Eugene, but with our online ministry. It goes everywhere. You know, and we send CDs. Right now we're not able to send any to Nigeria and the Philippines because there's no air travel. Yeah. So the post office isn't delivering. Yeah. And so once we get past this pandemic thing, then we'll be able to pick up and send them CDs. But we've sent them many over the years, so if they just go back and listen to what they've listened to before, they you know, can still be ministered to. So there were false teachers among you who privily, or that means by stealth, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Now, the Lord died for the sins of the whole world, and we're not declaring here in verse 1 of the second chapter of 2 Peter, we're not declaring that these men were saved, because you can't be saved and lost. But these were lost individuals who pretended to be saved. Okay? And so he said, even denying the Lord that bought them, you know, Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. It's much easier to build the church into a large organization by teaching morality and the lie of the devil than it is to preach the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Man has that innate sense of I'm a good person. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, before God's law, there's no such thing as a good person, except for God himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. And he died a ransom for our sin. So these individuals will speak evil of the truth, and through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Yeah, and I'm not going to name some of the big preachers that have churches of 30,000 or more, and I've listened to some of them and never heard a single verse of Scripture come out of their mouths. It's always challenging people. It's always right straight out of the devil's playbook. Yeah, and so through covetousness shall they with feigned words, in other words, they pretend that they are with you, make merchandise of you. They're just interested in either getting your church or your money, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Damnation means judgment. And so these people that have done things like this, that aren't genuine believers, and you know, a lot of them profess to be, but they will one day stand before the great white throne judgment and be judged for their works, and the books will be open. Their good things that they're supposed to have done will be examined, and then they'll still be short of the glory of God. And then the book of life will be opened, and their name won't be there. You know, our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. There is a false concept that, I went to three different Bible schools. They all emphasize the same thing. You have to be a soul winner. Now, I can't think of a time in my life when I ever had the opportunity to witness the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to friends, relatives, companions at work, things of that sort, where I ever had the opportunity and didn't, I didn't do it while I was working, getting paid to do something else. But if we were having a coffee break or something and I had the opportunity to witness, I did. And quite frankly, I've never seen any of them from that witness ever trust Christ as their Savior. Now, I know over the course of my ministry, I've preached the Word of God, and God's quickened it to the hearts and minds of many, and we've had lots of people saved, but we're not necessarily aware of it when it takes place. We're to preach the truth. We're to be diligent in season, out of season. We're to reprove. We're to rebuke. We're to exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And just, you can see it in the political realm in this country. The basis of our founding as a nation is under fire. And we have people, a whole, party that has renounced our Constitution. They claim they still believe it, but they want socialism, they want communism. And, I don't think they're going to make it this time, but, that's what they want. With all the freedom, all the liberty, we're the richest country in the world. And no one, we have many, many people who come here as immigrants. And first generation, they basically just survive. Second, third generation, they're business owners. That's particularly true amongst the Jews. And we have the largest Jewish population in the world outside of Israel. And it's just about equal right now. Okay? So God spared not the old world. Well, let's see. I missed a verse in verse 4. For if God spared not the world, right? Not the angels that sinned. And these were the ones that came down in the days of Noah and tried to corrupt the bloodline from Adam all the way, so that we're all related to Adam. And our kinsman redeemer, that's why we have in the book of Ruth, Boaz was a near kinsman to Ruth. And there was one kinsman that was closer, but he didn't want to take Ruth as a wife, so he bowed to Boaz and allowed him to marry her. And so Boaz redeemed Ruth, and it's a picture of our salvation in Jesus Christ. And so if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached Christ. The ark represented Christ. The only way that you could be preserved from the judgment that was to come was in the ark. And so that ark represented Jesus Christ. And then he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example. The old English word is ensample, unto those that after should live ungodly. And notice what it says next. He delivered justified Lot. Now, Lot when he escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah, and literally had to be dragged out of the city. His wife, they were told not to look back. She had to take one last long, loving look, and she was still turned into a pillar of salt. And he took his two daughters, but the sons-in-law, Lot spoke to them as one that mocked. In other words, what are you trying to talk to us about the things of the Lord for? Look how you live your life. Yeah. And so, but the scripture tells us that Lot was justified. To be justified, looking forward, he had to look forward to the seed of the woman, who was the seed of Abraham, who was the seed of David, you know, to be saved by Jesus Christ. And he was an Old Testament saint. Yeah. But he lived in Sodom. For that righteous man. Now, what kind of a man? Yeah, well, if we look at the life of Lot, and then of course once he gets out of Sodom, his daughter's getting drunk, they say, the whole world's been destroyed. We have to sustain the world, so we've got our father drunk, and you sleep with him tonight, and we'll get him drunk tomorrow, and I'll sleep with him that night. Or, in other words, we'll have sex with our father. And that produced Moab and Ammon, you know, related to the Jews, but both under the judgment of God. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, speaking of Lot, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. Lot and his two daughters out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, that's according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government or organized rule. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not, and might, they've got more power and might than human beings, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brood beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that counted pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, and which have forsaken the right way. So they've heard the truth and rejected it and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know, he was willing to curse the nation of Israel for money, okay, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, what are these people? They promise life-giving water. Yeah. Jesus is the water of life. So wells, these are wells without water. Clouds that are carried with a tempest. They pass over, but no storm. To whom the mists of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Now, let's turn back to the book of Romans, to the first chapter. Yeah, Lot was a mess, but he was saved. Yeah. When we look at ourselves, we're a mess. But at a point in time, the Lord brought the truth of saving grace of Jesus Christ to us. He quickened that word and made us alive. And we're not kept by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. That's not an excuse to sin. That's every excuse in the world not to. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Therefore, in chapter 2 of Romans, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. Those people were judging Lot. You know, look what you are, and you're trying to talk to us about a judgment that's coming. You know, and he spoke as one that mocked. But everything he said came true. Hey. So, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? I'm reading in the wrong place. Let's go back to chapter 1. Yeah. Verse 21. And this will fit with what we were just reading. Because that when they knew God, in the first chapter, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If you realize that everyone from Adam forward has had the truth proclaimed to them. Abel believed God, Cain did not. And Adam and Eve had many children, you know, over a course of 130 years. And everybody's always asked that question, where did Cain get his wife? He got his wife from one of the relatives. You know, in 130 years, he may have been 130 years old or close to it, but they were not, and he went and built a city. If you read his genealogy, there weren't enough people to make a city. So they changed the glory of God and of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into the lie of the devil. And now we have all of this political stuff going on, and you dare not say anything. You say, well, a woman is the only one that can bear a child, and she can't bear a child without a man. But then our children are being taught that they can't identify their sexuality until later in their life. And it's utter nonsense, but it's the way the world thinks because of the lie of the devil. Let me read a few more verses and then we'll quit. So, who changed the truth of God into the lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, so be it. That's what amen means. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was judged before the law. But even the natural mind recognizes, in your so-called knowledge of good and evil, can you recognize that men with men cannot produce, women with women cannot produce? How people choose their life, it's none of my business. They can do what they want, but and they will. But when I call attention to what the Word of God says about it, they want to judge me for being homophobic. I'm not afraid of them. Okay. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fitting. You know, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or God-abandoned mind to do those things which are not convenient. Or, you know, a man wasn't designed to have sex with another man. And a woman wasn't designed to have sex with another woman. Men and women were designed to cohabit and reproduce. You know? And so, you know, believe what you want, you know, the world will, but God condemns it. And it's condemned not by the law, but it's condemned by their own knowledge of good and evil, which the world follows after the lie of the devil. So, and even being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, so we bring in all the other sinners as well, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection or family love. Yeah. I appreciated that woman that used to work in an abortion clinic and what she said during the convention last night. Yeah. She finally had her eyes opened. And the cavalier attitude of the doctor who was sucking a living soul out of a woman's womb, and he says, "Beam me up, Scotty." You know, when people can be that cavalier about the taking of a life, you know, and other people want to make that a constitutional right, you know, are we ready for judgment, folks? We certainly are. Okay. So, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, and thank you for the message that you gave us this evening. It's so apropos in the day in which we live. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. You know, we have no animosity towards these individuals themselves. It's just they're caught up in the lie of the devil. And we pray that as the gospel goes forth, we know that people will hear the gospel, will believe, and will be saved. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So like that.